Jason, Aaron Rodgers is coming to town. Maybe. We'll talk about that more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, the Bears are playing the Steelers on Sunday, and the real question is whether Aaron Rodgers will be their quarterback. He broke his left wrist on Sunday, did not practice Wednesday, and as you and I sit here Wednesday afternoon, he has said that he hopes to try Thursday. Mike Tomlin said he wants to see him practice Friday, but it seems to me like the question they're going to try and answer is, can they put a brace on this thing so Rodgers can catch a football if needed and protect himself if he falls to the ground? I think there's no question that he wants to play at Soldier Field on Sunday, right?
Yeah, listening to him talk Wednesday, he sounded not only like somebody that wants to play at Soldier Field in what will almost certainly be his final game at Soldier Field, but somebody who is going to try to make that happen. So whether however much he practices Thursday and how he looks Friday, I think that he is going to make every effort and push for the chance to play. And if it's medically sound for him to play, which it sounds like it is, as long as he can find a brace that works, he's also their best option.
Right.
At quarterback. It's a lot different for the Steelers with him at quarterback than Mason Rudolph. So I would assume, based on just what we're hearing Wednesday, he's going to play.
I know Bears fans who don't want him to because they're counting wins, and they should because their team's a playoff contender for the first time in 5 years. But anybody with a soul wants to watch Aaron Rodgers run out on the field at Soldier Field for probably the last time, right?
Yeah, and there's so much history there between him and the Chicago fans. And as he said, it's mostly one way. He loves sticking it to them, and they love hating him, I guess.
Yeah.
But it'll be kind of a weird send-off in the sense that he will be playing for another team. He won't be playing for the Packers. But I think if you're the Bears, you know, you should want one last shot at Aaron Rodgers, even if it is this version of Aaron Rodgers that's fairly diminished. But even with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, and I would not have expected to be saying this going into the season, the Steelers are basically the Bears equal at this point. They're very, very similar teams right now. The Bears actually a game better in the standings. The Bears scoring a little more than Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh playing a slightly better defense than the Bears. When you look at all of the teams they've got the rest of the way, Patrick, this is somebody right on their level.
Yeah, this is the closest thing to a jump ball they have. You know, they should beat the Browns, and then they'll be underdogs probably against every other team they face the rest of the year. So that makes this a game they've got to have. Is it this? And you touched on this a little bit, Jason. Is it the same if he's wearing different colored uniform? Like, is this? This isn't slaying the monster, right? This is having a little fun by beating the monster in his old age, yeah. Who plays for a team that you don't care about.
You'll like, take any punch you can land on Aaron Rodgers if you're the Bears and Bears fans. And I mean, that whether he was still in Green Bay or not, that ship has sailed. He's 25-5 career against the Bears, including a playoff win. There is no way to make up for that. But I think it's still the guy, and that's a credit to him, because that's not usually the case in the NFL. Yeah. There's not usually a rivalry between a player and an opposing fan base that lasts like right. That. It's usually teams. Players are the brand of a player is almost always second to the brand of a team in this sport. The NBA, it's the opposite, for example. But there is legitimately a rivalry between Aaron Rodgers and the city of Chicago, no matter what arena it's in, no matter what uniform he's wearing.
He told a story Wednesday that he's told before, Jason. We've heard it, that, you know, part of the reason he loves Chicago is, number one, he likes coming here just to come here. But also, he grew up watching WGN, and he loved the Bulls. And he had a quote that said, you know, who didn't love the Bulls unless you hated Michael Jordan? I think he has to understand on some level that in this town he's become, you know, what Detroit must think of Michael Jordan, right? Or what... You know, I'm trying to think of the Bulls' main rival during that period. I mean, I go to Isaiah right away, but, you know, all these other teams that the Bulls just stampeded over, you know, that's probably how they think of Jordan, which is, we know he's a good player, We'd love to see him, you know, in person, and then he's going to beat our team and we're going to hate him.
In my experience, there aren't that many athletes that actually want that role of being the villain.
Yep.
That is not something that sounds fun to them. And there are some that do like it, but Aaron Rodgers has often sounded to me like he doesn't want that. He would like this to be a friendly rivalry, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think if Aaron Rodgers is 70 years old and he's here for a Cubs game or a Bulls game or something, and
playing in a golf tournament or something,
and they show him on the Jumbotron, I think he's getting booed. I don't think he's ever, and it won't be kind of in jest. I think he, through his success more than anything against the Bears, has put himself in a place where it can't be a friendly rivalry. It's going to be a serious rivalry. And he really cemented that in 2021 in the game where he yelled, "I own you," at the crowd in the, I believe it was the southwest corner of the stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think he meant every word of it. And I think what was so amazing about that is that I'm not sure a single Bears fan could argue that point.
Well, I think the Bears team spent the next several weeks, because that was their first game against Green Bay, so they had to see the guy again later that season. I think the Bears spent all that time in between being asked about it and being not really having anything they could say about it.
Everybody always talks about, you know, these great legendary athletes who end up playing for the wrong team at the end of the year or at the end of their careers. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got Willie Mays with the Mets. That's probably the most famous one. Johnny Unitas was a Charger for a year. You got a favorite one? You got a favorite famous athlete who winds up in a weird uniform?
Well, there's all kinds of weird ones in the NBA. I think Patrick Ewing played for the Sonics.
He did, yep.
And I think Hakeem Olajuwon played for the Raptors.
He did.
Obviously, Michael Jordan played for the Wizards. I mean, there's a million of them in that league.
I think it speaks to how hard it is just to be... I mean, if anybody in the world was going to start and end their career with the same franchise, it would probably have been Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, sign multiple extensions with them. You obviously have to want to live in Green Bay to stick around, and he seemed okay with that. And I think it just speaks to how hard it is to manage not only money in the NFL, but the massive egos of the people involved, both who work for the team and, in Rodgers' case, you know, a pretty notorious ego himself. And is it kind of sad that, like, you know, he blows an Achilles with the Jets. And I know that nobody listening at home is going to feel sorry for Aaron Rodgers. But it's kind of sad for the sport that, you know, we've got this guy who's playing on a 500-ish, you know, Steelers team that's, you know, in the pantheon of Steelers teams, just going to be right in the middle and, you know, is kind of playing out the string of his career.
I mean, it's better than if he had stayed with the Jets and gone through whatever that was going to be and whatever it was last season. I think they went 5-12 last season with him. Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers were a good fit because he needed a decent team to play on, and very few of the decent teams were looking for a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Minnesota, maybe. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, obviously. So it was a good fit for what each has needed at the time. When you talk about the end of Aaron Rodgers' career, which he has said that he, I think the exact quote was pretty sure this is his last season. So he has indicated this is likely it for him. Is he 42?
Yeah, turns 42 next month.
Okay. The end of Aaron Rodgers' career has been pretty normal. It's been what you expect to happen at that age. I think there was this skewed perspective on how long quarterbacks could play because Tom Brady played into his mid-40s. But you look at all these other guys, that's the outlier.
Yeah, nobody else does.
Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, now Aaron Rodgers. This breakdown happens coming in on 40 years old. And it really, as the Bears were kind of, how many Bears coaches and starting quarterbacks came and went and were waiting maybe to wait out Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
They might have been really better off if he'd stayed. In the last three seasons, which is really just two seasons since leaving Green Bay because he didn't play hardly at all in 2023, Aaron Rodgers has a 92.8 passer rating.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Fine. Yeah. It's whatever.
Right.
Jordan Love is far outplaying him right now in Green Bay. and much younger and will be around for a while if he continues to play that way. 47 touchdown passes, 18 interceptions. That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good number. 64% completions, you know, just kind of okay. 209.5 yards. That's not a lot, really, for a quarterback. So, I mean, he and it's all, none of that is a slight at him, because that's what should happen
right. When
you're in your late 30s, early 40s. That's what typically happens to these guys.
If anything, it's remarkable that he's as good as he is. I mean, I don't think it's normal. I think it's extraordinary. It's just not Tom Brady. And, you know, it's not LeBron James, to use your NBA, your NBA reference there. Let's get to some quick Bears stuff. Kyler Gordon returned to practice on Wednesday. That opens up his 21-day window to get activated from IR and put on the 53-man roster. Jalen Johnson's 21-day window is down to, what, 16 right now,
yeah,
as we sit here. And then you've got TJ Edwards, who's not on IR, but the Bears will, you know, hope to get him back in the next couple of weeks. I mean, we're looking at a December and maybe January that features all three of those guys, and you could argue, Jason, those are their three best defensive players, full stop.
Yeah, you could. I mean, I think Montez Sweat is in there, but regardless of whether you want to nitpick that statement, I mean, those are three just absolutely essential players for them.
Right.
I mean, TJ Edwards has been their leading tackler. Kyler Gordon is the highest paid nickel corner in the league. Jalen Johnson has been their best corner his entire Bears career.
Right.
I mean, those are big additions if those guys can play at their normal level. And we don't know, coming off injuries late in the season, Jalen Johnson, think how little on-field work he's done.
Right.
I mean, he basically practiced and played 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the summer.
Mm-hmm. July. Yeah, going back to mid-July. And then Kyler Gordon has a hamstring injury, comes back, and then gets another hamstring injury. I think it's fair to be skeptical, Jason, because these are two guys who, when they came back, were not able to stay healthy.
Yeah, you just don't know.
And also they have to fit in, and this sounds so bizarre to say, but they have to fit in with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who Ben Johnson said today, boy, he's a playmaker, and essentially we're in no rush to take him off the field. And I'll be curious to see exactly what they do, because CJ's been playing the slot corner. The Bears have talked openly since Dennis Allen got here about playing Kyler on the outside. But if Jalen is back, you're not going to replace Tyreek Stevenson with Kyler. Probably not on the outside. CJ Gardner-Johnson can play safety, but you're not going to replace either your safeties. So, I mean, are we just talking about you play a lot of dime coverage, or how do you think they're going to end up doing that?
I would guess the first question that comes up is, what do you do with Kyler Gordon's return?
Yeah.
Because I would think Jalen Johnson is still a little bit away.
Right.
And I would be very inclined, if I were the Bears, to play Kyler outside and keep C.J. Gardner-Johnson where he's at nickel.
Yeah, I would too. I think that...
Kyler, by the way, has experience doing that. He played outside his rookie year because of injuries.
And I love the idea of having CJ and Brisker and Kyler available to blitz, quite honestly. And if the Bears' pass rush continues to be as kind of boring as it's been, maybe that's the answer there. We'll see. Like, a lot of times in football, right, Jason, like, these things work themselves out. Like, like every time you sit there and go, wow, they have so many guys and not enough spots. These things.
Well, it is a good problem to have. I mean, you've covered Bears teams here where they didn't have enough cornerbacks.
I've covered Bears teams where Nashawn Wright would be an unquestioned starter.
Yeah.
And now he's probably the first to go, even though, what's he have, four interceptions? Like, he's in the top five in the league in picks, and he's going to go to the bench when Jalen Johnson gets back? You don't want to say an embarrassment of riches until everybody gets back, but it certainly has a chance to be their deepest room. Other stuff that popped up with Ben Johnson today, he said, you know, he wants Rodgers to play. He said he joked that he hoped that J.J. Watt wouldn't share any secrets with T.J. Watt, who is playing for the Steelers, and J.J. is calling the game on Sunday. Did anything else grab you, Jason?
Before Ben Johnson talked, some things that I was looking at, Patrick, we've talked a lot in the past few days about the playoffs and the Bears' playoff chances.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you're familiar with the New York Times playoff simulator because we have talked about it before when it comes to the Bears. The Bears currently in that have a 47% chance of making the playoffs.
Okay.
Which is quite a bit down from...
57 was the NFL
57 network. 57 with NFL Next Gen and 59 with ESPN. But that percentage, if the Bears win this week against Pittsburgh, just that result alone would jump it to 58%.
That's bizarre, given that it would be a win against an AFC team. Like, if anything, these games mean less in terms of the playoff hunt.
The other games that they need that would boost them and would be the Giants beating the Lions.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. And the Vikings beating the Packers.
I mean, I think that's part of the formula there, too, is that the fact that the Vikings and Packers play each other, not that the Vikings, I don't think they have much of a chance at 4-6, but that somebody's got to lose that game. And every game like that that gets played, and particularly in the NFC West, where you've got the 49ers and the Seahawks and the Rams, every one of those games where there's got to be a loser, I think, does help the Bears in these situations.
If the Bears get all three of those results, if they win and are fortunate enough to have the Giants beat the Lions, which is a huge upset, and I believe that's in Detroit too.
Yeah.
And the Vikings beat the Packers, their number in the New York Times playoff simulator would jump to 66%.
I don't think we have to worry about that happening. But it's interesting in that this far out, you've got an actual, like, this isn't just us making up stuff because it's so rare that the Bears are in a playoff hunt. This is, you and I agree, even though in the paper the other day we kind of took different approaches. You and I agree that there are eight teams for seven spots, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to count the Panthers.
No. And what's the saying about the antelope that are running away from the lions? Have you ever heard this?
No, tell me.
That you don't need to be the fastest antelope; you just can't be the slowest one.
Right, right, right.
And that feels like where the Bears are right now. Quickly on the Steelers, and then we'll get out of here. DK Metcalf, you may remember him from the Seahawks. He plays for them and is just okay. It seems like their offensive weapons, whether it's Freiermuth or him or their rotating running backs, have just kind of been eh.
DK Metcalf's having a solid season, but not where you usually think of him. He's got 37 catches for 551 yards and five touchdowns.
Yeah, this team kind of starts and ends, I think, personality-wise with defense. And Ben Johnson talked about it. It's just the physicality that they play with. And, you know, when you've got particularly T.J. Watt out there, you know, and Highsmith and all these other – like, it's – if Highsmith's healthy, it'll be really interesting to see how their defense – or how their offense does against a defense that's pretty scary, because we haven't seen a lot of those in the last couple of weeks either. I'll give you a Caleb question and then we'll go, Jason.
Okay.
What do you need to see from him now that we are kind of officially in the time of year where he's playing games with real stakes?
Yeah, you need to see him rise to that moment the way that he has risen to the moment at the end of games.
Right.
He was talking just last week about when the pressure's on, it makes him better because there's no option. Mm-hmm. It's got to be right. You have to be on track. You have to find the answer. That pressure raises his game. Mm-hmm. And the one area where you want to see that focus right now is on his throwing accuracy. Continues to be an issue. Season low, 50% completions against the Vikings. On Sunday, he's been under 60% six of his last seven games, I believe. He's near the bottom of the league in that. He is near the top of the league in off-target throws, if you look at Pro Football Reference's charting of that. And he has said throughout his time, he had issues with this as a rookie too, and he keeps saying, well, this is to the effect of, this is surprising to me because I've always been an accurate thrower. Mm-hmm. But at some point, you can't keep saying that when there's just enough of a book on you that says you aren't, statistically. Yeah. Now, he's not at that point yet. Right. He's halfway through his second season. There's still time for him to redirect this trend. But that's everything about Ben Johnson's offense is efficiency and staying in a good spot regarding down and distance. Yeah. When it comes to Caleb Williams, that means completing passes. So not taking sacks, which there you go. There's a ton of improvement there. But also accurate passes to complete passes. And they are not going to keep winning, I don't think, if he doesn't improve that part of his game.
Yeah, and they're certainly not going to beat better teams. It'll be, you know, Ben Johnson even pointed out the two deep balls on the third down on the first two drives of the game, where one he missed Roma Dunze by 100,000 feet, and another one he should have had DJ Moore. And Ben said, you know, with the DJ one, like, we have to have that. And I think that he needs to be accurate enough, especially deep, just to keep you honest. I don't think he needs to turn into Joe Flacco, you know, just heaving balls for 40 yards all the time. But I think he needs to keep him honest. We'll watch that, Jason. We'll watch Aaron Rodgers' health all week. And we will come back, I guess, what, Sunday at Soldier Field. He's Jason. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.